What a beautiful, beautiful song, time of worship. I'd like to invite you, if you would, turn with me to Acts chapter 10. We have been looking at some of the stories in the book of Acts, the ways that they shook the world, and the ways they help us to be part of the Jesus movement. And today we'll begin reading at verse 1. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called for 2 of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up onto the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its 4 corners. It contained all kinds of 4-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened 3 times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, 3 men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down to the men. "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man, who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you would have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this transforming and transitional moment in the life of Peter. And thank you that it is a moment that belongs not only to him, but in so many ways and in the ways that you work in our life, it becomes part of our story as well. So as we stand in this story for a few moments, may we too hear the voice of your Spirit. And may we too be edged closer to the mission of God. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Acts, the stories of 2 incredible Christian leaders are told back to back. In the previous chapter, the story of Saul, who became Paul, is told, and the incredible conversion experience he had as he was going down the Damascus Road, and the intervention of Jesus Christ himself, and how that transformed his life, and how he heard the message that he was going to take the gospel to the Gentiles, and that he would even suffer for that. The very next story is also a conversion story. Although in our minds we might not think of it as such, here's Peter. And you think, well, I thought Peter was converted. I mean, he was hanging around Christ. He was the Peter who actually stood up on the day of Pentecost And when the Spirit had come, Peter put it all together for the people, and people from all over the world had come, and they knew different languages, and Peter was able to speak, and God used that in such a way that everybody understood, and Peter was able to explain to people that this was the fulfillment of the coming of God's Spirit and what that meant. It was the same Peter who a couple chapters later was going to the temple to pray, and he saw a beggar, remember that? And he and John, by the name of Jesus, asked that person to stand and walk, and they did. This is the same Peter that religious authorities grabbed and said, you shouldn't be out there in the streets cut loose like this, talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now this is a Peter, and you wonder, what do you mean this is a conversion story? Let me cast it this way, if I might. This is a Peter who certainly knew Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that. But this is a story about a person whose story becomes every person's story who follows Christ. And it comes down to this. It's very simple. When you come to Christ, when you come to conversion, Christ does the work of conversion in your heart. He's not done converting you in that moment. Do you know what God is doing the rest of your life? Could you possibly imagine? Would you like to take a wild guess at what God spends all of his time doing regarding you? He spends the rest of your life converting you. He spends the rest of your life converting you. Think, well, I came to know Christ when I was a kid, a teenager, whatever your story is. That's true. You came to know Christ, and God got into that. He's the one who brought you to that. And God has spent every moment, as a matter of fact, if the truth were to be told, even before you came to Christ, do you know that God was already converting you? He was already in the business of reaching out to you. He was already in the business of getting your attention. He was already in the business of showing you what love looks like, what grace could be like, what forgiveness would be like. Before you were converted, God was already there doing his work. When you came to know him, you're changed, we're changed, and after that moment, it never stopped for God. He has spent your entire life converting you, changing you, changing us. This is what happened to Peter. Peter had already confessed his love for Christ. Peter had already, even on one occasion, walked a little on the water with Christ. Peter had already seen the death. He had already entered the empty tomb. He had already witnessed the coming of Pentecost. He had already seen the after effect of the coming of the Spirit, and yet God was not done with Peter. And on this particular day, Peter was in a city on a seacoast. It was getting close to lunchtime. And he went up on the roof, which in their day was pretty much like porches and patios for us. And while he was there, probably just getting ready, and his hunger was beginning to overtake him, and he could probably smell the food that was being prepared, he had a divine disruption, a conversion moment, another conversion moment. And in the vision that was given to him, a sheet was let down from heaven, and in that sheet were all kind of animals and reptiles and birds. Some of them were clean, and some of them were unclean. And all of that would have been just fine if it not had not been followed by a mandate from God himself, which said, Peter, get up, kill the animals in the sheet, and eat them. And Peter was thinking to himself, Lord, I know you caught me at a weak moment. Yeah, it's true, I'm hungry. But there's no way I can do what you ask me to do, because I can clearly see that in the sheet there are some animals that are good for us to eat, because you said so yourself. Way back in the day, you made a list. And on that list, there were animals that were clean and we could eat. But on that list, there were also animals that were unclean and we were not to eat. You yourself made the list. And now you're asking me to kill and eat the things that are on your do not kill and eat list. How could I possibly do that? And God spoke to him again, a second time. And God spoke to him again. A third time. What is happening in this story? God is converting Peter, yet still. God is still in the business of changing his mind, of changing his heart, of shaping who he is. And it took an intervention from heaven to get Peter to where he was going, just as much as it did to get Saul to become the follower and disciple and missionary of God that he did. Both of them, in their very different worlds, had a very incredible interruption of God to put them on mission. That's the whole purpose of an interruption of God in your life. The purpose is to get you on mission. When I was a boy, there were many nights that my daddy and I went and stood under the willow tree, and I picked out the willow branch that would get me back onto my father's mission. There are many times in which a coach has come to the field. I remember the very first ball game I ever played in, and a coach said, "Brian, go play second base." I'd never been on a field and played in a real live game, and so I did literally exactly what he told me to do, and I stood right on top of second base. And then my daddy came out. He was an assistant coach. And there's nothing like being 6 or 7 years old, and your dad walks out on the field, and in a very loving way, I remember him putting his hand on my shoulder, and he said, "Brian, this is second base. You're standing on it. You did good there, but when you play the position of second base, you got to move over here and stand here." I can't tell you how conflicting that was, because I had to move off what was clear to me, second base, to play the position. The same exact thing happens to us as followers of Christ. We're standing on second base. Peter was standing, guess where? On second base, and God interrupted and said, "Peter, I know. I mean, I see how the field is laid out. I know the playbook. I get the game. I know you're standing on second base. But in order to participate, in order to fulfill the mission of this game, in order to play this game, you actually do not stand on second base when you're playing defense. You stand over here. And that is a hard thing to do." God is spending the rest of your life moving you, moving us from where we're standing when we know, dead sure, we're standing at the right place. And it takes a sheet from heaven filled with all kind of stuff from heaven to gently move us from what we know to be where we should be to where God knows where we should be for his mission. And therein is the conflict. That is why Peter was so confused in the moment. That is why he said, "Hold it. Your word says do this." Does it not? Does it not say, "Do not eat and do not kill and eat these unclean things"? Does not your word say that? And now God is saying, "Today the Spirit has come. We have a fresh day. There has been fulfillment of that. And so we're moving you over, but you're still playing the game." God is still doing that in your life. You might think, "Man, I know this game. I know what it's like to be a Christian. I know all the routine. I know the deal. I know the language. I know what to do when." And nothing can unsettle us more sometimes than when God shows up, something comes down from heaven, and it says, if when we get it or we hear it or we see it or we sense it, we say, "That can't be right. Because I've been a Christian for a long time and I know how this deal goes. And now God wants me to move 5, 6, 7 feet away from home base, from second base, from where I know I should be." That's him converting you. That's God converting me. Now you can stand the rest of your, if you want to, you can stand the rest of your life at second base if you're so sure you got it all down. Do you know how many times you're going to get run over while you're standing on second base? God has a really great idea of how his mission rolls. And as a father, he loves us so much that he's willing to move us around the field of mission as needed. And sorry for all the baseball stuff, but I make no apology. Heaven and baseball to me are like virtually synonymous. When I'm on a field, I feel like I'm in heaven, and I just know in heaven there's going to be fields everywhere for this stuff. Coaches move their players around all the time. There's a left-hand hitter, and you know he's going to go down the line. You shift your defense around. There's a right-hand slugger, and you back up your defense. In order to play the game, everything is always in movement, and they're shifting. As Christians, in order to live out fully the kingdom of God, in order to be in the game of the kingdom of God on planet Earth, God is always moving his people. Move a little to the right. Back up a little bit. Don't swing at the first pitch. Take two. All those kinds. God is doing that. And sometimes the greatest difficulty that people have is that we know the playbook, and it's hard for us to hear a fresh word from God, but it is God who knows the people across the street more than we do. It is God who knows those businesses more than we do. It is God who knows your neighbor better than you do. It is God who's in the office with you with co-workers, and he knows them better than you do. And whenever he sends a sheet and there are new directions or a fresh move or you have to step aside or something else is going on and you know this is God speaking to me, you better move. You ought to move with what he's doing, because he is positioning you in the place where you can maximize his mission in the world. And if you don't want to move, he will find somebody else who will stand in the place that he wants you to stand in. He just wants you to have the blessing of it. The same thing happens in churches. God is positioning, he repositions churches. We are his family. And sometimes the sheet comes down with heaven filled with all kinds of new things, all kinds of new ideas. And we get out the book and we say, no, in the past we didn't do that. Well, we can't do this, but we can do this. And God is just simply saying, listen, there's nobody like me who knows what the mission is in the world. And if we as a church family want to be fully engaged in the world on mission with God, when he sends the Spirit and fresh voice of that and that our hearts, he knows what he's doing. We can trust him. He sees the game from the beginning to the end before it ever happens, and he knows exactly where you need to be. He knows exactly what his mission is. And when he nudges you, take your place to where he nudges you and just be blessed in his mission and experience the joy of the disruption from heaven. It is intended to bless the world, and you just get to be blessed because you're part of the story. I couldn't be with our team on Friday night when they beat Liberty, and I don't know how many times I'm going to say this over the years that we beat Liberty, but I just wanted to be clear. But I don't want you to run off and tell anybody. But I was so excited when I got the text. I was at my grandson's birthday party, and I was so excited when I got a text that said, we just won. We just won. God's doing the same thing in the kingdom. Good things are happening. You know, when Peter looked back on it, I know he must have said, I see it all now. So good. Now, I mean, thank God I get to eat bacon. I mean, I can have North Carolina barbecue. I can have Memphis barbecue. I can have Louisville barbecue. I mean, I can have the whole thing. But, I mean, can you imagine, Peter, if I were Peter and that sheet came down and God see, I saw a pig in it. First of all, I wouldn't have the guts to kill it. I'd hire somebody to kill it, prepare it, but I daggone would eat the bacon of it. And I just thank God that there must have been a cow in the sheet. I cannot imagine life without the outback. Can you? That just wouldn't be right. All God wants to do is bless. And what he has in that sheet for you is a blessing, not just for you, but beyond you. It is a blessing to bless the world. Most of us think we just want God to bless us and I just want to be blessed. He doesn't bless you just so you can run around and say, I'm blessed. He blesses you so you can bless the world. That's the joy of it all. Do you see that? The sheet is for all. It came to Peter, but it was so that all people
could hear and respond to the good news that Peter was sharing. It was so that all people could have an opportunity to come to Christ. Think about, make your own list. Think about the things on your list or in your sheet that you think, there's no way that that person would ever come to Christ. There's no way that Republicans and Democrats will ever get together. There's no way that we're going to be able to move forward. There's no way that that group of people could ever experience the grace of God. They're so lost. Imagine all of the stuff that you think is so foreign to the ways of God. Put them in the sheet that comes down from heaven and look at it again, because Jesus is saying, I love everybody. I can save anyone. And the gospel is open rein to every and nation, person, boy and girl, child, senior, adult, skin color, economic base, what they have, what they don't have, it makes no difference. The sheet of the gospel of Jesus Christ is wide open. And when that comes to you, what does your life look like? And how does it move you off your secure base into the playing field of the kingdom of God? What does that look like? Let it come. Eat the bacon. Enjoy the day. Go to Outback and tell the good news that Jesus died for us each and every one. And that we get the joy of spending the rest of our life loving people, showing and sharing what that love looks like when it's the love of Jesus Christ, because that's what a father does. That's what a mother does. That's what we get to do as a church family. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand with me, please. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and after I pray, I'm going to invite you to come if you wish. If you would like for me to pray with you, I would be honored and delighted to do that. And your prayer today could be very simple. Maybe God has been showing up in a way in your life and it's catching you a little bit off guard and you're standing on second, and God is nudging you and he's moving you over so that you'd be right where he wants you in the field of mission, in the field of his love. And I would love to pray for you. We've been down that road and we'll go down it again. God's converting you right now. Even if you already know him, he's converting you today. And he'll convert you tomorrow. If you'd like to come and just stand in his presence or kneel and pray, and you've got something on your heart, you feel absolutely free to do that. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ongoing story of the gospel. Even when Peter had done it all and said it all and had shared the great first Christian sermon, had seen beautiful things happen, even then you interrupted. Even then there was a disruption in his life. Even then he had to be brought around to the mission. He could not believe that the mission would go to Gentiles. And how odd it must have been for him to be standing in the very home or the presence of a Roman soldier, thinking that the gospel was just as much for that Roman soldier as it was for Peter himself. So Father, we come. Whatever is in the sheet that you send to us, whatever images, whatever ways you speak to our heart, you lean into us, you move among us, whatever things move us, we desire to respond, whether it's individually, whether it's a family, whether it's the entire church family, wherever you want us to be, for the sake of the name, for the glory of the Father, for the blessing of the people. Let us hear and move. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Let's sing. As you sing, I'll be right here to meet you and pray with you as you come.